Okay, let's do this. Hello, Bootstrappers. Welcome to Bootstrapped Web, the show for business owners like you and me who believe that to get to where we're going, we have to learn by doing. My name is Brian Castle. I'm also CastJam on Twitter. Today, you're going to hear my interview with Brennan Dunn. In less than 1 year, Brennan attracted over 6,000 freelancers to subscribe to his weekly newsletter. We're going to hear how he built up this list so quickly. But more importantly, how does Brennan use his list to market his books and his SaaS app? I definitely learned a lot from talking to Brennan, and I think you guys will too. So that's coming up in a few minutes. I want to tell you about something that I'm working on this month, and that is a full site redesign of restaurantengine.com. So Restaurant Engine is a SaaS web design service that I've been running for the past 18 months. And during that time, the service gained quite a bit of traction. It's doing pretty well. It's really kind of like my primary business these days. I mean, I'm involved in a number of things, but that's probably taking up most of my time, Restaurant Engine is. And so I've been learning a ton about what's working and what's not working and really getting to know my customers very well at this point. So I'm learning which aspects of the service my customers find most beneficial, and I'm learning what the main selling points are, and I'm learning about which points differentiate Restaurant Engine from my competitors. And, you know, let me be clear. In the beginning, prior to launching the service, or in the early stages of the startup, I know which things that I think are the biggest benefits or selling points, but it's not really clear until I really talk to customers, lots and lots of customers, that I really get a firm grasp on what those things are. You know, so like I would hear the same questions come up again and again, which tells me, you know, where the points of confusion are in the service. So something that might seem very clear to me might not be coming across as clearly as it could be to customers. And when I hear the same questions and people trying to clarify that again and again, it becomes pretty obvious. You know, I also get to hear some of the most common objections that people have with the service, or you know, things that are holding them back from actually signing up. Again, I hear that through talking with customers, pre-sales conversations. I also hear that through when they decide to cancel. They tell me, I always ask them why you've decided to cancel. So I hear what those objections are. And over a year and a half, you just start to hear these patterns and you learn so much about what's going on in your business, so much more than what you can kind of design from the get-go or just brainstorm before you really get that traction. You know, and I also learn, I also hear a lot of the same compliments. You know, I do ask for testimonials, but sometimes people just tell me, you know, they're so impressed with how easy Restaurant Engine was, or the cost, or how fast they got their web design up and running. You know, so I hear some of these same compliments from customers again and again. And again, that gives me this kind of data or this knowledge about what is it that my customers are really valuing the most from the service. So I'm using all of this data and all of this understanding of my customers is what's driving this redesign of the website right now. And that's what's making this project really, really enjoyable for me. You know, this might actually be one of the most enjoyable web design projects that I have done in my career. And that's saying a lot. I mean, I've been doing this, I'm not too old, but I've been doing this quite a few years now. And I've worked on hundreds of websites. But this one is really kind of personal because it's my own business, and it's based on all these learnings that I've built up over the past year. You know, when you're designing a site for the first time, or you know, for a new startup or a new project that's first launching, when you're designing that version one of the website, you know, you're really just making your best guess at what the most effective approach is to that design. So, you know, you kind of know the benefits that you're trying to get across, and you're going to put those on the website, but you don't really know exactly how things are going to play out with your customers until you really get it in front of them and get that feedback. So, you know, after a year and a half of being in business with Restaurant Engine, there's so much more knowledge and learning that can be worked into this version two of restaurantengine.com. You know, so I can work all these things that I've learned into the design, into the architecture of the website, the copywriting, and so on. So that's what I'm working on. I'm aiming to get this redesign launched and out the door by the end of June. So that gives me about 2 more weeks. I think I'm going to make it. I'm almost there. Working on the, I've done the design and now I'm working on the front end HTML, CSS templates right now. And then once that's out the door, once that is launched, I do plan to record like an in-depth video case study of my work on that project. And I will release that here on bootstrappedweb.com. So look out for that in a few weeks. Okay, so let's see what's on my radar this week. Dan Norris from Informly, who I interviewed on last week's episode, on his blog at Informly, inform.ly, he posted this 3-part series on the blog. Actually, it's on his podcast. These are like 3 podcast episodes. Basically, they list 21 blog conversion mistakes, and he offers his expertise and advice on how to fix those kind of mistakes for your blog, for like getting more opt-ins and conversions, I guess both email opt-ins as well as sales conversions. So, you know, a lot of really great tips there. And, you know, if you're running a blog that supports a business, you know, if you're doing like content marketing and things like that, you'll definitely want to check this out and really just follow everything that Dan is putting out on the Informly blog. I mean, I'm definitely picking up a few really great ideas, and I'm working those into the Restaurant Engine redesign, the blog on Restaurant Engine. I'm picking out a few of those pretty good ideas. So thank you, Dan Norris, for that. Okay, so let's get into the main event, my interview with Brennan Dunn. All right, so I'm here with Brennan Dunn. Brennan, welcome.
Hey, what's up, Ryan?
So, for those of us who aren't familiar with you and your work, why don't you introduce yourself and tell us about your businesses?
Okay. So my main business, I think, would be PlanScope, which is a project management app for freelancers and teams. But along the same lines, or at least along the same audience, I also have 2 books out, Double Your Freelancing Rate, and a book called The Blueprint. And I also have a workshop called the Consultancy Masterclass. And on top of that, I have a podcast, I have a weekly newsletter, and a bunch of other things that all kind of relate to that same audience. So if you were to describe my business, I guess in one sentence, it would be a business that serves freelancers and helps them become better at what they're doing.
Very cool. Yeah, you know, I really like all the things that you're doing, and I really like how they're all tied together with one single audience, and that is freelancers, and I guess also freelancers who are growing into more of a larger agency type of operation as well.
Yeah, I mean, unfortunately, there's a lot of ways to describe what, you know, somebody who has clients. I mean, you could call them consultants, freelancers. You could say they're at a consultancy or an agency. Ultimately, I'm serving really all of those self-identified labels, but freelancing is probably the broadest term that I can cover.
Sure. And, you know, I think the thing that really ties them all together, and from what I understand, you know, your core method of marketing and putting yourself out there and building awareness is your list, your newsletter list, your subscribers. That's really at the core of everything that you do. And that's why I kind of wanted to invite you on the show today to really dig into the success that you've had with your list and also how you've built it up over the years.
Great. Let's do it.
So, first question, you know, to give us a little bit of a perspective of what we're talking about here. How many subscribers do you have to your main mailing list?
So right now, what is it? Mid-June or so. I think I'm just shy, or actually no, I just crossed 6,000, and then I sent out my newsletter on Tuesday and dipped a little under 6,000. But I'm hovering right now at about 6,000 subscribers.
Nice. So, and you send out a weekly newsletter. That seems to be kind of the center of your of the content that you put out. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, sure. So I have one singular MailChimp list, and I send to the entire list every Tuesday. And each Tuesday, what I send is really just, you know, sometimes it's a part of a series that I might be doing. Like right now, I'm doing a series on project management, but ultimately, it's just, you know, 300 to 500 words about something related to consulting or freelancing that I think people might find interesting. So, you know, the way I look to the frankly, the way I like to look at it is if I were to strip out anything related to my business, meaning if let's say I'm doing an email that kind of some, you know, subtly cross sells the book of mine. Even if I were to remove that cross selling, even if it had no call to action, the email should by itself leave somebody better off than they were before they read it. And that's my goal. And so, you know, they're purely educational. They're not really about me. They're not about what I'm doing or anything like that. It's really just focused on teaching people about how to become better, or really how to better their business, better their freelancing business. Because a lot of freelancers start out, you know, they quit their job. They're a designer or developer. They quit their job, but they don't really know. They haven't really mastered the business side. You know, they might be a great developer, but they're not really a great business person. And my job is to help people become better at business, because it's something that when I made that transition, I absolutely sucked at business, and I learned the hard way. How to avoid a lot of the common mistakes that a lot of new freelancers get into.
Right. Now, I mean, you mentioned that, you know, your newsletters aren't so much about you. It's really about educating and training. But I mean, I do subscribe to your newsletters, and I think you do a great job of actually pulling from your personal experience. So it still is very personal. Like hi, I'm Brennan. Hey, what's going on this week? You know, it's very you speaking to the reader.
Totally. I mean, I just, you know, there's so many newsletters that I might get that are kind of business newsletters, and it's all about like who we hired or what's going on at the company, and, you know, stuff about the company that's actually sending the newsletter. And my focus is not, you know, I don't, unless somebody can learn something about an experience I had, I don't think anyone really cares. Sure. So, yeah.
Cool. So, so now your newsletter is primarily available where? I know you have like the or which websites? Where can people actually sign up for the newsletter?
So the easiest way to do it would be at freelancersweekly.com, which is a single page website specifically built to capture names and emails for the newsletter. That's where the majority of people join. I have paid ads that drive people to that site. But there's also, if from my personal site and also parts of the PlanScope site have links that, or embedded forms rather, that can get people directly on the newsletter that way. And I also have a, if you buy one of my products, one of my books, you're auto added to my newsletter.
Okay, I see. So we have like a number of avenues or sources where people can get can initially get on your list.
Yeah, and I've had others. I mean, I've done like deals with AppSumo where I will have people, you know, there might be an opt-in form when you go to download the book if the book's being sold through AppSumo. I recently did a bundle which has a bunch of software or discounts for software, you know, in it. And one of the conditions of getting the coupons is you're going to be added to my list. So I have these other avenues too, but primarily it's through freelancersweekly.com.
Gotcha. So when you're doing, when you have like opt-in forms outside of freelancersweekly.com, you know, on, let's say like the PlanScope blog or on your personal blog, all of those opt-ins are getting them onto your main single list, right? You don't have like a PlanScope only list or your, or another list.
I do. I mean, I have, so if you sign up for PlanScope, you actually don't get on my mailing list. That's really the only exception to kind of my strategy for getting people on the list. And, but otherwise, like case in point, if you buy my book through AppSumo when I was running it on AppSumo and you opted into, I had an accountability form. So fill out your name and email, and I will personally keep you accountable to actually execute based on what's found in this book. And what I had a little checkbox that says, I'd also like to receive your weekly newsletter. And only one person did not check that box. So out of just shy of, I think, 800 people who bought my book through AppSumo, only one of them decided not to be on my list. So it's pretty much 100% conversion rate of AppSumo opt-ins to my list. But what I do for that is I just, within MailChimp, I just copy, you know, wholesale that list, sure, you know, to the main list.
Gotcha. Yeah, I mean, you know, I think that makes a lot of sense, you know, especially with your businesses being so integrated with the same audience, you know, really just kind of building that single list from multiple sources. That's kind of something that I've been doing, I think, the wrong way for quite a while. And I'm trying to correct that now where, you know, I've had my personal blog at castjam.com, and that I started to use an opt-in form at the end of the articles there. And I kind of had my own, like a single list just for CastJam. And now that I'm doing Bootstrapped Web, I'm trying to, you know, really focus on the Bootstrapped Web list. So I'm promoting that on both sites because it's kind of the same audience.
Yeah, it's a lot easier to, I mean, keep it simple, right? So you have one list and you send to that one list only.
Yeah, exactly. You know, kind of getting back to the newsletters for a second, we're going to get into like the autoresponders a little bit later, but now your weekly newsletters, you're actually writing these once a week, right? So you're, this is like new content every single week that you're writing?
I do, yeah. I want to say I spend probably about an hour a week writing the newsletter, and then I spend 6 or 7 hours a week responding to people who reply to that newsletter. So one of the things that actually I think I do that a lot of people don't do is I ask people to actually reply to most of my newsletters and tell me about something specific that we might have talked about in you know, a particular email. And as my list grows, the amount of time I spend doing, you know, some people will send me like multiple paragraphs of response data that I need to read through, parse through, and then reply to. And so I'm spending more time doing that. But in reality, what it's doing is it's helping me learn from really my customers and learn, you know, what language are they using? What problems do they have? How can I provide for them in a way that I'm not already through future products? And it's really just a way to kind of do ongoing customer discovery.
That's great. Yeah, I mean, I can imagine, especially with a list of that size and your call to action is to ask them to respond. I can imagine the amount of time you must spend actually, you know, personally responding to and you know, in conversations with your readers. And I think that's a great idea.
I mean, it's a little more each week. I don't think, you know, if I were to get to 60,000 people on my list, let's say, I think it might be a little harder to do what I'm doing now, but for now it's okay.
Great. So take me back a few years and what, how should I phrase this? I mean, how did you start your mailing list? Like was starting the newsletter your first action, or did you start a business first and then decide to add the newsletter later, or how did that all come together?
No, so actually, we don't need to go too far back in time. Last February, meaning February of 2012, I launched PlanScope, and I kind of ran into what most kind of startup founders run into, which is, okay, I have this product, it's got some early traction, but the damn thing isn't growing quick enough. And so, you know, I did a lot of the traditional, you know, buy an ad through buy sell ads, point the traffic to my product's marketing site, waste a lot of money, you know, so I did that. And what actually ended up happening was I had exited my consulting business, and I didn't want to go back to working with clients or working primarily with clients. And I realized that I could do the easy route, which is, you know, find a new client and get paid to work on their project, or I could find another way that is a little faster at making money than PlanScope. So what I ended up doing, and this was last August, was I decided to write a book. And, you know, I'd been talking with a lot of PlanScope customers, you know, the few, I think at that point, I probably had about 50 or 60 paying customers. And, you know, I learned a lot about their business. I didn't just talk to them about their relationship with my product. Instead, I talked to them about their business as a whole and tried to learn from them. And one thing that became pretty clear was people had a very hard time coming up with how to price according to the value they provide their clients. So I decided, maybe I'll write a book. I had no idea if it would work. I had no idea if anyone would buy it. So I wrote this book called Double Your Freelancing Rate. I sold it for $50 and I self-published it. So pretty much just put up a landing page, had a buy now button that went to eJunkie, and people bought it that way. And one of the things I did then too was I intentionally had eJunkie linked to MailChimp. So I just started building up this list. And to this day, my weekly newsletter mailing list is actually in MailChimp labeled Double Your Freelancing Rate. So it still is a result of that. And what I did pre-sales with my first book. So I sold it before it was available. And I knew that if I bought something online, I wouldn't, if I bought something and didn't get it, I would want to at least know that there's activity happening behind the scenes and that I'm going to get the book soon. So I just started emailing the pre-order customers every week. And I would just email them about, parts of the book I was working on and, just kind of extrapolating chapters that I'd been working on and presenting them in an email format. And it kind of caught on. And, after the book was launched, I just kept doing that. And then after a while, I knew that if I had, the biggest thing that I learned with PlanScope, the biggest problem I ever had when it came to email marketing with PlanScope was I never emailed my list. So I've had a little north of about 3,000 people end up on my PlanScope mailing list. And a lot of that was back before I took credit cards up front. I would get Hacker News coverage. A bunch of people would do trials, but hardly any of them would convert. Mm-hmm. But it built up this list that I never emailed. So it went cold. So anytime I emailed the list nowadays, the unsubscribes are huge. Because people, they're like, what the hell is PlanScope? And sure. they don't remember, right? So I intentionally made an effort to keep this list warm, because I knew if the list was warm, people would kind of self qualify themselves by unsubscribing if they're not really interested in what I'm saying. But the ones who are used to getting me in their inbox weekly, we kind of build this relationship at scale, and they trust what I'm saying, they like what I'm saying, and they like it enough that they're willing to hear from me each week.
Yeah. And, that actually brings up an interesting point that I wanted to hit on. I receive your weekly newsletter every week. And I think one of the most interesting parts of it is right at the very top, even before you greet the person, even before you're like, hi, hello reader or whatever the name is, it starts with this paragraph, and I'll read it here. You're receiving this short letter because you joined my newsletter or bought a book of mine. Each week, I send out free, no strings attached advice that will help you grow your freelance business. Not interested? There's an unsubscribe link at the very bottom of this email. And that's copied on every single week. And I just think that's interesting. Can you tell, you kind of hit on it a little bit here, but what is the thinking behind that?
Yeah, so I want to kind of... My emails are very plain text. They're not like the very graphically heavy newsletters you might be used to, meaning I don't really have like a logo at the top or anything like that. So when I say my newsletter, that's a hyperlink that goes back to the squeeze page for my newsletter, which people actually end up sharing that a lot. So if this gets forwarded on, if you get this email and you forward it on to a colleague of yours, they can kind of opt into the newsletter themselves by clicking that top link. So I get a lot of forwarded emails, then clicking that link and then opting in that way. Hmm. But the other reason I think is because I'm kind of auto opting in people who buy a book, I don't want them to think that they're, being spammed. I want them to know look, if you don't want this, scroll to the bottom, click the link. The biggest thing that I don't want people doing is I don't want people clicking the mark as spam button in Gmail. I would rather them use MailChimp's way of doing that, just because it's a lot. I don't know the details behind it, but I'm pretty positive that if MailChimp got a lot of complaints from Gmail, it wouldn't be a good thing for my list.
Sure.
So, I just want people to know front and center kind of what are my intentions, right? Like, this is how you joined. This is what I'm sending you. And if the if what you find in this email doesn't apply to your business, maybe it's too advanced or too amateur for you, just get off.
Sure.
And I don't want people, it's not a numbers game. I don't care how many people I have. I want people who have that like magical 5-star rating on MailChimp. So
right. So let's talk a little bit about optimizing the top of your funnel. So you mentioned a few things here. You have the freelancersweekly.com and you're running paid ads towards that. You also have this link at the top of your newsletter where people sometimes forward it on, and that's a good source of new subscribers, and you have various other avenues. So how do you kind of track the success of these various channels, and then how do you kind of go about optimizing that?
Yeah, so unfortunately I don't have a really sexy way yet of knowing like, okay, Brian joined on this date by clicking on a LinkedIn ad, and then a month later he bought a book, and then 2 months later he bought Plasco. I've done that, but I've done that manually because everything is, so siloed, I guess. I have MailChimp and I have, Plasco and all that other stuff. Although I have started recently really relying on MailChimp e-commerce API, meaning that if you buy a book of mine, or 2 books of mine, I can, MailChimp will record when you bought these books and how much paid. So I'm able to do some, I don't really know really good ways of reporting on that, but I've done kind of casual reporting. But in terms of my squeeze page, freelancersweekly.com, I'm getting about a 40% conversion rate on paid traffic, meaning I'm spending about $2 a click. So it costs about $5 to get somebody on my list through a paid avenue. But it's actually, it pays off pretty well because I've had people, if you buy a $50 book of mine, you just paid for, nine other people joining that list, right? And likewise, I've had people who have clicked on an ad for $2, they bought a book at $50, and then like 2 months later, they bought the blueprint at $250, and then, 2 months after that, they bought my workshop at $1,200. So they just covered like a lot of other people, right?
Sure.
So I'd love to have a more formal like data dashboard of how all this stuff is working. But in terms of like money spent versus money made, it's definitely paying off. It's paying off pretty much about 10-1. Hmm. So for every $5 subscriber I get on, I'm getting about $50 in revenue.
Gotcha. So let's talk a little bit about the life cycle of a subscriber. So after a person gets onto the list, what's step one? Like what are they getting during that first week?
Okay, so you get 3 emails. I don't recall the spacing. It's a few days between each, but the first email is really just an introduction. I think that's more or less pretty quick. It's an introduction about who I am and why I think they should listen to me. So pretty much it's just, a lot of people who click on the LinkedIn ad do not know who I am. They haven't read any blog posts of mine. They don't know anything about me. So this is just my way of saying, look, I quit my job. I became a freelancer. I scaled up my freelancing business to 11 full-time employees. And, I know a lot about, I've made a lot of mistakes along the way, and I want to help you avoid those mistakes. So, I look forward to hearing from you. And, that's pretty much that first email. The second email is I ask people point blank, what's the number one problem you have with your freelancing business? So what do you hate about being a freelancer? And naturally, I ask people to respond. And I tag all of these, or I label all of these emails in Gmail. And I've got about, I think, around 700 or 800 people who have responded to that. And so the response rate is pretty high. But again, it's plain text in their own words. Problems that people have. And one thing about marketing is if you can throw back the actual wording that people use to describe their situation, that's just, conversion-wise, that's like the best path to take. So, I have the plain text. It's not a, like, I haven't surveyed people and told them, like, choose A, B, or C. I have this raw data that I can then slowly kind of catalog into common phrases people use and common problems people have and so on. So that's its second email. And then the third email is a follow-up to that, which is, here's the number one problem that people have told me that they have. And the number one problem is actually related to pricing. So I upsell my Double Your Freelancing Rate book in that email. And I get a pretty good response rate to that. And so that's really the only, the autoresponder sequence is really just three emails. And it's sent, I think, within like 11 days, you get all of them.
And are you, so a new subscriber who gets onto that initial three email autoresponder, are they also getting your weekly newsletter?
Yeah. So let's say you joined at, you joined Monday. You're probably going to get same day that intro email. And then the next day you're going to get the weekly email. And then, you know, I think 3 days later you would get that second autoresponder email. So yeah, I don't wait until the autoresponder sequence is done before I start mailing the actual newsletter.
Okay. And so then after that initial three email autoresponder is finished, do you do anything where you start to segment the subscribers? Like, okay, they've indicated that this person is a freelancer or this person has indicated they're an agency. Let's put them into a different funnel. Anything like that?
No, I mean, if I ever, you know, make the jump to something like Infusionsoft, I'd imagine that'd be a lot easier. But I haven't done anything like that. The only thing that I would do that actually are, there are more autoresponders that I have, and those are triggered based on e-commerce activity. So when MailChimp, you know, I have autoresponders that say, if you bought, let's say, Double Your Freelancing Rate, you know, I think I have it like 2 or 3 weeks later, I send a follow-up email that asks them what they thought of my book. Mm-hmm. And I also casually cross-sell my other book, The Blueprint. So I'm always kind of tweaking these. I don't really have, I'd love to have more of like I mentioned, that kind of data dashboard that kind of showed how effective each of these, because it's not really one funnel. It's like a series of different funnels that all kind of cross each other at sure. various points. So.
Yeah. And so you have the two books. You also have a masterclass in addition to PlanScope, which is like a SaaS app. So how do, like, when does the masterclass come into play?
So I would love to be a little better at promoting the masterclass. Right now, it's really I will have like a, you know, in the postscript of particular emails, I might have a, you know, a call to action that says, hey, you know, if I'm planning one, you know, the next masterclass will be in May. Click here to read more about it, which brings them to the sales page for it.
What so that's kind of something that you would mention in the newsletters when it comes up in the calendar year.
Yeah, I would never make a newsletter dedicated to it, but I will kind of casually mention it. I mean, the postscript is a great place to put like little random tidbits that might not relate to the actual letter being sent out.
Gotcha. Very cool. So how about tracking and optimizing, you know, the individual email campaigns that you send out, whether it's your weekly newsletter or your autoresponders? Are you looking at things like open rate, click-through rate? Are you A/B testing subject lines or anything like that?
So I'm not doing any split testing. I am kind of looking at what campaigns tend to do well. I'm not really, the autoresponders I don't do a lot of tweaking of. It's really just a set it and forget it sort of thing. But with my weekly newsletter, I am trying to see, like, you know, I don't really care about open rates. What I care about is a lot of stuff that I can't really get through MailChimp. Like, MailChimp has no idea how many people respond to an email, like reply to it.
Mm-hmm. They don't track that?
Well, no, I mean, the reply to goes directly to my email address. So it doesn't pass through MailChimp. So they'd have way of knowing that. I'm sure maybe there's a way. I don't know. but yeah, so, you know, I try to see like what gets people to respond well, what kind of, you know, people will write me back and say like, this was a really solid email. And I'll make note of that and try to figure out what about it was really solid. But I mean, I really, not emails, not all of my emails are really created equal. I mean, some of them are very salesy. Like I'm doing this email to build up some anticipation for an upcoming product. So, you know, some emails I like to call trust emails, which are really just about, like, I'm not asking them to do anything. I'm not asking them to buy anything. It's just really a matter of giving them something valuable, which I look at it as it's kind of indebting them in a way that, you know, they just got something from me. So when I do ask them for something from them later on, they're more likely to actually act on that. But, you know, one thing I learned from Joanna Weeb of Copy Hackers was the idea of, like, for every email that you try to get somebody to buy something with, you should have at least 3 emails beforehand that do nothing but just educate and provide value for free without any, you know, where you're not asking for anything in return. So that's kind of the strategy I've been using. It's not always 3-to-1, but I try to keep it kind of close to that.
Gotcha. So what about the content for your, or like the topics that you choose to write about? I mean, I could certainly see how when you're asking for replies from your emails and you're getting a lot of feedback from your readers and they're telling you what they're challenged by or you know, which newsletters they're really responding to, I could see how those could lead to potential new topics and upcoming newsletters. Like, that worked well. Okay, I'll write about that again, or they want to hear more about that. So, I mean, do you do that? And then my other question would be, you mentioned that you're planning an upcoming product. You know, like, let's say you're planning to write a third book. It's about a slightly different topic than your previous 2 books. Do you start writing more newsletters along those lines, like leading towards the topic of that book, even before you announce it or anything?
Absolutely. Like,
how does that play into the content?
I launched the blueprint in March. I started promoting it in December to my list, but I didn't. It was a very gradual buildup. And what made it kind of cool was I would just expose what I was writing about to the list and letting people know, like, hey, you know, I'm working on my next book. I just wrote a chapter on how to, you know, write the copy for your freelancing business's website. And I wanted to share some bits from it to you guys first. So not only am I kind of providing exclusive stuff they can't get out anywhere else besides the list, but they're, you know, the idea of Brendan's working on a book. This is stuff that's going to be in the book. If this is the caliber of the stuff that's going to be in the book, I want this book when it comes out. So it was very easy to actually, you know, we the launch date of the book actually was a lot better than it could have ever been had I not done that. So, like, case in point, right now I'm on the second email. I just did the second email of a 4-part project management series. Now, I have a project management app, so it's pretty obvious what the end goal, for me at least, with this 4-part series is. I've never really promoted PlanScope on my list until now. So that's what I'm doing with this. And when I do my next product, it'll be the same thing. I'm just going to, you know, if I, like, my next product is probably going to be more around beginner freelancers and how to build up a sustainable business. So I'm going to start with topics like that and just sort of build up momentum. I mean, case in point, and I did this all through PostScripts. I did this all through PSs. When I was launching my first workshop back in November, for like 4 or 5 weeks beforehand, my PS would always be like a little blurb about what I'm thinking about, like really just speaking or vocalizing out loud what I'm thinking of doing for this workshop. And I was throwing around price points and throwing around formats and stuff like that. So kind of build up momentum for a small segment of people who might be interested in that. And then when I launched it, within a few hours, I had sold 14 seats, which equated to $14,000 in revenue. And there's no way, I mean, if I were to tweet, hey, I've got a workshop here, click here to register.
Right.
Like, no one would buy that. But because you've kind of built up that anticipation and everything, it really does pay off.
Yeah. I mean, that's great. And of course, it's kind of an exclusive product. I mean, really all you need is 14 people. So, you know.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, I mean, that's great. And that kind of leads, you know, nicely into my next question here is let's talk a little bit about how you're making sales. Obviously, you know, a huge portion of what you put out is just educational, valuable content, useful, helpful, you know, giving you something for free. But at the end of the day, this is all a business. And, you know, you did talk quite a bit about how you kind of incorporate these soft sales into the PS. and, you know, building these four-part series or however many part, you know, topical series, and that kind of leads into a sell. Can you talk a little bit about how you go about making sales and writing that offer when it comes time to actually sell something?
So I never really do a hard sell. You're never going to get an email from me which is all about like, buy this, you have 10 days if you don't, or you have, you know, buy it in the next hour and you'll get this, or, you know, I don't do the hard sell ever. But what I do is I do try to, like, there's certain things that, case in point, my workshop. I would never want to promote my workshop to somebody who joined my list last week. You know, I want my workshop to go to people who have been on my list for months. They bought stuff from me already. The likelihood that then they're willing to kind of take it to that next level is significantly higher when those qualifications are met. So I would love to find a really elegant way to kind of dynamically generate newsletter content in such a way that I can have conditional postscripts and stuff like that. But I haven't done that yet. But yeah, I mean, my sales strategy is really just like, if it's a product launch, I will build up over multiple months anticipation. But I'm also going to fill that with kind of just, you know, random filler, not fillers and like fluff, but fillers and like unrelated to that sale content. But it's just really, if you think of it as like climbing a hill, it's just really getting people to that top of the hill slowly over time. Like, no one is ever, I'm never going to surprise announce a product to people and send them one email that announces it and hope that it actually sells. It's very much a matter of giving them free value over a long extended period of time and letting them see the value that they're able to apply to their business from this free, you know, content they're getting. And then basically making the argument that, if you thought the value you got over the last few months was really, really solid and really, really high, I want to tell you about this product that I've been mentioning for months, that is even more valuable, that, you know, is 10 to 1, 20 to 1 in terms of the amount of value you'll get from it.
Right.
And that's kind of my positioning, which is, if you could sit on my mailing list forever for free and get a certain amount of value. But if you want to dive into a certain thing, if you want to really focus in on like how to really price yourself or how to really get leads online, you know, you can learn the abstracts through my list, but you're going to need to dive into one of my paid products to really get the details and the actionable information on how to do that for yourself.
Yeah, I mean, that's fantastic. I think, you know, your whole approach here is just the way that you've structured it and the way that you've built it up over time. It's just, you know, really impressive. So, you know, one final question here. I think, you know, when a lot of people listen to these kind of podcasts, we hear, you know, we look at someone like Brennan, who is, you know, clearly, you know, just doing it, just killing it with this kind of stuff. But I mean, all entrepreneurs, all bootstrap entrepreneurs are challenged by something, even when you're doing well. So, you know, Brennan, what's kind of challenging you right now? You know, we're like midway through 2013 here. What's kind of, you know, challenging you, but you're working through it, and, you know, what's going on right now and where are you headed?
So it's a good question. It's funny. I actually, there was a guy on Twitter yesterday who tweeted me saying, how many people should be on my list before I send something to them? And my reply was one. And why I bring that up is, you know, if I started my list really less than a year ago. I started it last August. And if I could have known that it would be at 6,000 people right now, I would have been like, you know, I would have thought that was crazy. And really, I was looking for, like, I was looking with PlanScope when I first launched, or I was looking, you know, when I was starting my list, I was looking for that magical kind of hockey stick. Like, what like critical thing can I do once that will just make this thing explode? And I think the challenge that I have now is keeping myself from that mentality. Even today, even, you know, I have these dreams of like, you know, I have good friends with somebody who works with Ramit Sethi, and, you know, when I think of like the size of his list, I'm like, damn it, I want to get there. But what I don't realize is it's, you know, I can get there, but I'll get there at one opt-in at a time. You know, it's a slow growth thing. Whether you're talking about SaaS or anything else, realize it's a rare event to ever have some sort of catalyst that will just make your business take off. So just, you know, commit yourself to doing a lot of small incremental things, a lot of it hard work. And over time, if you're doing the right stuff, if you're working hard and you're producing stuff that people want, there's no reason why you won't just grow the way that you want to grow. You know, it just takes time. So my challenge now is, I'm always like, how can I get myself to 60,000 people? I should be thinking, how can I get myself to 7,000? You know, much more realistic, much more like, well, I can run this ad campaign and maybe it'll get me there faster. You know, it's just trying to keep myself from thinking that kind of like high growth startup mentality of do this little magic thing and then you'll just become like a household name overnight. I mean, that's crazy.
Yeah, I mean, that's just fantastic advice, and I really personally struggle with the same thing. And I have for a while, and that has been one of the biggest lessons that I've learned maybe over the last year or two is, you know, it is hard, especially as bootstrappers, right? I mean, we are the type of people who will go in and just start working on something because we can, and we know how to kind of figure things out. And that kind of fuel makes us want to get results really, really fast. But, you know, it just doesn't work that way. And, you know, you're building something much more valuable. The slower it go, I mean, you know, the more you focus on building it one person at a time, one sale at a time, one subscriber at a time, you know, you're building something very valuable over the long term.
I mean, and plus, you know, you need time to kind of react to what's happening. If I were to go to 60,000 people tomorrow and I'm still asking people to personally reply and guaranteeing that I will reply, what is taking me 8 hours a week now, if you just run the math, would be doing, I need to work 80 hours a week to respond to newsletter stuff, which means I would be killing myself and having no time to do literally anything else but sleep. Right. So
yeah, so it's certainly not scalable, but it's definitely helping you and helping you build something.
Let's say 5 years from now, I am at that point, or maybe sooner. By then, I will know the direction that I need to go in order to make it so, you know, my personal goals, meaning freedom and flexibility, are still maintained, but I'm also still being able to deliver a huge amount of value to my audience. So, yeah.
Awesome. Well, you know, I certainly learned a lot. I think, you know, other people will as well. This has been hugely, you know, valuable for me. So thank you very much, Brennan, for taking the time and joining me today. So where can people kind of reach out to you and find you, other than obviously subscribing to your newsletter, which I do highly recommend people sign up for?
So the easiest thing to do would be to go to BrennanDunn.com, BrennanDunn.com. And that's kind of like a portal. If you click on products, you'll see everything I've done. You can contact me through Twitter or email from the contact page there. So it's just kind of like a centralized hub. So if you want to, you know, get in touch or whatnot, I'd love for you to check out my site and drop me an email.
Awesome. Well, Brennan, thank you very much for taking the time, and let's talk again soon.
Awesome. Thanks, Brian.
Okay.
Bye.
So I really enjoyed that conversation with Brennan, and here are a few takeaways that I took from that conversation. The first is that, you know, Brennan gives out genuine, helpful, educational content. There is no hard selling. He doesn't send any emails that have the sole purpose of selling a product. He does have soft sells, and those are kind of mixed in, like in the PS at the end of emails, and you know, just kind of mentioned in certain parts of the emails. But for the vast majority of the content of the emails is just genuinely helpful and educational content, you know, just one person teaching another. And, you know, where he does get into selling, it's relevant, right? So he's educating you on how to build your freelance business, you know, but he's kind of mentioning, if you want to take this to the next level or dive deeper with more detail
and get a better understanding, I wrote a book about that. So, you know, it kind of makes sense to mention that kind of thing. And it's, you know, it's just an honest, straightforward way to sell products online. The next takeaway is he doesn't ever let people wonder, you know, who he is and why they're receiving an email from him. If you read the very, if you subscribe to Brennan's newsletter, and I highly recommend that you do at freelancersweekly.com, you know, even if you're not a freelancer or doing client work, really great email list just to get on, just really to see how he does it. So, you know, at the very top of every email, he has that message that we talked about, reminding people who he is and why they're getting this email, and just tells them, you know, unsubscribe if it's not for you, or if you don't remember, you know, why you got on in the first place. So, you know, there's never that sense of like, you know, wondering who this person is. You know, he stays very familiar at the top of their mind. The other thing, this is just inspiring. I mean, he was able to build his list to 6,000 people in less than a year. I mean, you know, wow. I've been working for longer than that, and I certainly haven't reached that level. You know, but it's just inspiring to really see how he did it, and it gave me a lot of things to think about. I'm sure it does for you guys as well. So, you know, it just really shows that if you stay focused and committed, over the long term, the results will pay off, and maybe not as long as you think. You know, to get 6,000 people, that I would have assumed that would be 3 or 4 years, but you know, he really shows that it is possible to kind of focus, dig in, and get to where you want to be within 1 year. You know, and I really liked his point there at the end. You know, don't focus on your next 60,000 subscribers. Just focus on your next 1,000. Take it one step at a time. Don't expect overnight success. That's what this business, this game is all about. You know, one customer at a time, one subscriber at a time. Drip by drip, you're gonna get to where you want to be. It just takes a little bit of time. You got to be a little bit patient, and I know how hard that can be, especially for myself when you know, I'm just so anxious to see results and build something and see the results of what I've built. It takes time. Got to pull back and just really remember that lesson. So, really great conversation. A lot to think about. Okay, now it's time for the big question. So here's my question for you this week. What are you doing with your mailing list? Are you letting it sit idle like Brennan had initially done with his PlanScope list? Or are you touching base with your subscribers every week and really keeping them informed, touching base, staying at the top of their mind? So share your approach to your list and what you're doing with your newsletter and opt-ins and things like that. Love to talk about that kind of stuff. Be sure to tune in next Monday for another episode of Bootstrapped Web, and let's catch up on Twitter between now and then. Hey guys, I've got a mailing list, so head over to bootstrappedweb.com and enter your email, and you'll be in the loop on everything that's going on here. Thanks for tuning in.